Hi, I'm Alexa.
And I'm Rory. And together we are...
The Romies!
We are married.
To each other.
Right. We are a touring musical duo.
And our music has taken us to all kinds of places all around the world and keeps us always on the go.
So we hope you enjoy our stories and adventures while running around working to keep all your plates spinning.
And we hope to facilitate your busy lifestyle and feed your inner travel bug.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. Happy February. Happy Love-uary. With Valentine's Day just around the corner, we wanted to dive in to talk about some sweet things for your sweetie and maybe your sweet tooth. I have a big sweet tooth, and so this is of particular interest to me. My problem is I'm short and I'm only 5 feet tall and super small, so I have to be careful how much sweets I consume. But
it was a nice rhyme.
What was my rhyme?
5 feet tall and super small.
See, it's the songwriter in me.
It just flowed.
Totally flowed. Mm. Well, speaking of flow, we want to have you flow from state to state. We have run across several articles on the World Wide Web where you can find like the 50 best chocolate chip cookies across America or best chocolate in America state by state. Well, today I ran across another one that was the best cookie state by state. So it goes all the way from Alabama to Wyoming, state by state, mentioning like these super cool cookies. So for example, you know, you can hop on down to Idaho and get a party in my mouth cookie, which looks really super fun. In Illinois, you've got a mint chocolate chip cookie. And Kansas has a cute little sunflower cookie. Maryland has a burger cookie, B-E-R-G-E-R. So it's like a hand
Berger.
Cookie. Yeah, and then like the Massachusetts, in Massachusetts, they have the Boston cream pie cookie.
Let's see, I'd like to have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I like a good cream pie.
But look at this, Rory. In Mississippi, you got you a Mississippi mud pie cookie.
Yeah, that comes from that song.
There you go. So
I'm sure y'all know that song.
Yeah, you know that song. New Jersey, you got a rainbow marzipan cookie. New Mexico, you got a dark chocolate chili cookie.
Yeah.
Like, no, yum.
Yuck. I don't like chili and chocolate.
Oh,
sorry.
I do. Just,
nope.
If it's not like...
Because the chili doesn't...
It has to have like that
right amount.
The chili
adds no flavor. It only adds heat to any cookie I've ever had, or any chocolate, rather, I've ever
well,
had
maybe
with chilies in it.
Go.
It didn't add flavor, just heat, and
hey,
I did not appreciate
I
it.
I expect we will be doing a New Mexico episode, so maybe we will head down to that specific
I'm
bakery and try them. And let's see if it changes
your mind.
Of course,
Ohio's got a Buckeye Browning cookie.
Of course it does. In Oklahoma, you've got you a luscious lemon pecan cookie. Pennsylvania, whoopie pies, because this is
duh.
Like, yes, I discovered whoopie pies in Pennsylvania, and they changed my life. They, like, that's probably my ultimate favorite of the world. And then in Tennessee, they put music notes on their Christmas sprinkle cookies.
Sprinkle, S-P-R-A-N-K-L, a Christmas sprinkle cookie.
So that's, like, music-inspired.
Texas is Death by Chocolate, which would be one of your favorites.
Well, and we got something to tell you about Texas and California in just a minute. In Utah, we got the Jell-O cookie. So these are like different colors. Vermont, butterscotch, maple, walnut, etc. So
there's cookies in every state of the union.
Right. And then each state has a state cookie, which these may not be that.
No, they're not necessarily state cookies. They're the best cookie in the state.
Right. But then each state has its own cookie, too. So, yeah. Like, that's a
and
whole
a lot of these are representative of the states, obviously.
Right, right. So
we'll put a link to this website. You can check it out.
Yeah, well, several of them. And there's so many things you can do with travel that tie into baking. And so, you know, you've got your culinary tourism.
We're all about the food, you know.
Right. So
travel.
You can go and explore specific types of bakeries or pastries or breads, you know, like whatever is your thing.
Have I heard people say culinary souvenir? Is that like a thing?
Well, you can
like
bring home like the ingredients from certain things. I've done that. Like
culinary souvenir.
Yeah, I bring home spices and seasonings that I can only find in a certain place. Another thing you can do when you're traveling, there's cooking classes, cooking workshops. Of course, there are food festivals of all kinds. We've talked about a food truck festival in Somerset.
Somerset, Kentucky, not England.
Right, right.
Though they may have one too. I don't
and
know.
There's chocolate festivals all over the world. Then you got, when you wherever you visit, you're going to find your local bakeries and local markets, the farmers markets. All of those places are wonderful places to find local and be inspired by that as you travel. And, of course, you find inspiration for your own cooking and learn about new ingredients from these places.
And today,
we are going to dive into professional bakers and how they find their inspiration. So today we want to inspire you with some inspired, passionate, creative people who bake. So first we're going to dive in with Allison with Katrin's Vintage Cakery.
I'm really inspired by your story and your journey recently. You were at the top of your game, like at the top of the ladder in the particular industry that you were in and what you were doing. You were killing it, like one of the biggest, most influential TV and film studios. You're at the top of the game, and you decided to leave that, not to go to another job that's going to pay better and be a bigger job, but to move to a town of 40,000 people, 100 and something miles out of Los Angeles, instead of in Los Angeles, a town called Tehachapi, to bake.
Yeah, to bake and to get my sanity. I mean,
So how do you walk away from the top of a? Has it been in the back of your mind all along? Of
who's in the back of my mind?
I'm gonna get out
for a long time. I mean, I have the person who took over my job when I left. I've known her forever, and she said I've been talking about leaving for 15 years, which I thought was interesting.
What?
So I mean, I knew I'd been talking about leaving for a long time. But I do, it actually makes sense because I think about we were on the beach, we were at a BMI music festival, BMI sponsored in Kauai. And I remember sitting on the beach with her, and she also had a top job in another studio. And like, man, I got to get out of this. This is killing me. And then she quit. She quit her job like a year later and launched her own business. And I always felt like the sucker. It's like, I'm still here not having the courage. But also, mind you, she doesn't have children and my daughter was small. And so I think what kept me in it, even though my heart was telling me that it was too much, like the stress was too much and the toxicity that comes with, I think, when you're in that kind of environment where people are also trying to get your job half the time. You know, I really just needed to make sure that my daughter's life was stable. She was in a stable neighborhood. She could continue her trajectory through the school system. And then once I got her out and once I got her into college and I knew college was taken care of, then I felt like I was finally free. But it never would have happened had the pandemic not happened, because I needed that ability to work from home. Without that, I think, you know, I would go to this. I went to them a couple of times over the years. I'm like, isn't there a thing? Like, isn't there a sabbatical thing that can happen or some leave?
Yeah.
It's just to kind of
you just needed like a break and a breather.
And every time it's like, no, we don't do that kind of thing. Which I think of my company, they don't, because I have a friend who has very, very big music global job for a gaming company. And he did get one. He got to go for 6 months to a kibbutz and completely regrouped. And I was like, how come you get that? So
I want your job.
Yeah, exactly. So when the pandemic happened, you know, we're working from home and clearly everything's still running. I had gone to my boss because a lot of people, you know, were going to be closer to family. And I was like, you know, what do you think? Do you think we could do this move and I'll come into work still like one day a week? And we had made an agreement and for emergency meetings and things like that. And it at that time, it made sense. That was where the world was at. And then when everything started opening up again, which seemed to coincide with the renewal of my contract, people weren't so open anymore, I think, to having folks out of the office. So then I was really in this place of, do you go against what you've chosen now and this lifestyle and commitments you've made to your family to try to kind of sustain that job that was really wearing me down? Or do you just go ahead and see it as a sign? And so I pulled the plug.
Okay. So you've got some family in Tehachapi, if you will. Ben's family's there, but you'd been to Tehachapi before.
Yeah, but only just a handful of times. I think that's what was so strange about it was We had maybe all told, I think, 6 nights into HatchP in all the years we'd been together.
Like, and if you add it all up together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd go out like for a celebration and then we'd turn around and go home. So, cause it's an hour and 45 or so to LA.
One way.
Not bad.
It's not like San Diego to LA. It is a different kind of drive. But yeah, it was really kind of the blind leading the blind. I mean, we realized when we put the offer on our house, we'd actually never been in the grocery stores, or maybe we'd popped in one of the grocery stores once to pick something up quickly for his mom. So it was a weird kind of leap of faith of, oh, maybe we should go kind of look and see what's around.
Yeah.
We love the area, and, you know, and also not knowing the people and all that, it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, we moved here, we never looked back, but it was a wild leap of faith.
Yeah. But I mean, you've got a small town that you've been to a handful of times. There was some kind of peaceful something or other there, and he's got family, and you just went there and did it. That's amazing.
Like, jump ahead, what, you've been there what, a year now? Two years
in March.
Okay, so in the period of 2 years, you have now, like, I think successfully launched a new baking business. And that's what's so inspiring, is that it's something that you have had a passion for. It's a creative outlet, even though
something you really enjoy.
Something I've loved my whole life, which is a creative industry. It's still like you were on more on the business side. So you may not have had that many outlets for your creativity, which may have been one of the reasons you felt so ick. I can't make a facial expression on a podcast, but like, you felt so meh.
Yeah.
Because you are a very creative person. Having a more corporate job, I'm saying in air quotes, may not have given you that creative outlet. Whereas, hey, now I'm in a small town and I've had this passion. Here I go.
I think that's exactly what it was, because I had been creative for 20 years or 22 years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you'd be careful what you wish for. So then when I did take over the division, that was when all the creativity went away, you know, because I music-wise for 20 years. So that's when it became all paperwork and all management of people. I think that's why I really literally felt like my soul was dying.
Yeah.
And then you get caught up in it. So you have no time for anything else. Like, I've loved to bake since I was a kid, but there's so many other things I always wanted to explore. And since we've been here, we've taken a couple of little painting, like, evening things. And it's like, oh, wow, I've never painted before. And and just learning about color combinations. And now I'm learning to crochet. And there were a couple of business things. I had the bucket list. I had the bakery on the bucket list. I had a music documentary I wanted to produce. And I had a book I wanted to do, a coffee table book. And I very quickly eliminated the coffee table book because I was able to lean into some lawyers at the corporation I'd worked at who did due diligence, internally passing my idea off as something they wanted to do, and found that it couldn't happen. So that was gone. And then the music documentary, the person we want to do it on just isn't interested. And my director actually just circled back again about 3 weeks ago to see if she'd reconsider, and I haven't seen any responses. So I'm assuming she's going to hold firm. So then it was like, okay, that's gone. So now in a way it was a relief because I could really just focus on the baking.
Yeah. Did you?
What's that?
Sorry. Well, I was just going to ask, did it feel safer to do it in a small town than a big place like LA, because the town felt peaceful anyway? Or, I mean,
oh, you mean to move and pursue all this stuff?
Yeah, to pursue a baking thing. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's different. And I could not, first of all, I couldn't have stayed in Los Angeles unless I replaced the job I was in with a comparable position, just because
the cost of living, just like flat out.
Yeah,
yep. You There's got your math. Mortgage.
Yeah. The math is like, and that was something that always worried me too, was I'm one layoff away from having my home crash to the ground anyway, which unfortunately I think is the case that most people are in. And I wanted to be in control of my destiny, because even in the pandemic too, that really brought it to a head, because there was no guarantees. There's never a guarantee, especially when you're under contract, that they're going to renew you. And even though they came to renew me, after 28 years of that, you get a little tired of having 2 years of, or maybe 18 months of rest before you start worrying about the next renewal. And and so, man, I could never have done this. I wouldn't have been able to. And then also, you know, there's so many options in LA, and being that I focus primarily on vegan and gluten-free, that's, there's a lot of that happening there. It's more of an anomaly here, but it's also something that I think folks are kind of having to warm up to. A lot of people don't understand. They understand gluten-free because they have maybe tummy issues. Vegan scares them. So I've had to kind of also move more towards dairy-free, because I find myself having to explain it a lot too. Like,
yeah, sure.
Eggs, for some reason, throw people for a tailspin. So I modified too. I'm constantly modifying the business based on the area. So the message originally was gluten-free vegan. Then I realized people didn't really know gluten or vegan. So now it's dairy-free vegan, or dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan options available. just trying to kind of roll with it a little bit. And
well, it's the business the environment, products, and it's a business. So you got to gotta go with what your customers want to an extent. Yeah.
And it's also using verbiage that they can relate to and connect with to be excited about your product.
So we've talked in the past, and we travel a lot, right? And I know that you love to travel, and you've traveled a lot, especially with your job. Now, when we travel, we see things that we love and we incorporate into our life, and sometimes we'll bring it home, like not buying it literally and bringing it home, but we'll bring that and incorporate it into our life. Sometimes we will literally buy it and bring it home. But you were saying, and this is what's so cool, that in your travels, you were always had an eye. You always had an eye to look out at bakeries and different things like that, and exploring, and, oh, this is a cool place as far as the baking world concerned. Did I get that wrong or something? And that whole time,
no, that is correct.
This is doing in the back of your mind.
I mean, I've been obsessed with baked goods since I was a child. So, and my mom, I think, also really spurred that in me. So it is kind of the first thing I do anywhere I go is I scope out. Like, the minute I find the bakery, it's like the comfort thing. And then I try, depending where I am, I try to find the local favorite. And it could be something that maybe people are aware of here, like, you know, macarons in Paris. I don't generally like macarons here in the US for some reason.
Right.
You get to Paris and it's like, holy moly, like, it's just a different game. Or street waffles in Amsterdam. and when I was a kid, I remember my parents liked to go to Carmel, California, usually a couple of times a year. And there was a bakery there where I'd get their eclairs. And it's the only place I've ever bought eclairs. Or New York. You know, I think I had mentioned to you guys Levain Bakery for their giant cookies in Harlem, or Magnolia for the cupcakes, or whatever. I stumbled upon a bakery, which was funny. My daughter had a job there this summer, and I took the train, and I was walking to her place of business to see her, and I passed a bakery that had all these insane looking, oh gosh, what are they, you know, the donuts that are the
beignet,
no, like the croissant ones. Oh yeah, well, beignets in New Orleans, by the way,
that's what I'm talking about. Oh, like, yes, that's what you eat.
They're like the croissant donuts that people make. I can't remember what they call them.
Yes, and I know what you're talking about.
And this place had it.
I don't know.
They're like, you'd recognize them. They're like multi-layered, big, fluffy things. They're basically croissants.
Really rich.
They used to have them in Burbank.
Okay.
Yeah. But I passed this window and I saw them, and it was like they were on steroids, and they were multi shapes, like squares and things like that. And I've never seen anything like this in my life. And so I walked in and I asked the guy, what do people buy? And he's like, they get this one with like the pistachio cream. And then they had a square one with chocolate cream. And normally I'm a chocolate person. I'm like, well, I must get what everybody gets. So picked one up, walked into Marin's office and showed it to her. She's like, that's the TikTok place. Like, she knew it instantly. She's like, everybody's always talking about it on TikTok and they're showing these things. And it was just kind of
it.
Unfortunately, she would have preferred the chocolate. And apparently the pistachio isn't what everybody talks about on TikTok. But
but it sounded fun.
I love stuff like that. And even it would just make even just a bite. Like I tend to waste a lot of baked goods, unfortunately, too, because I just want to try it. Or I want to try the local bread that I have to get. Or when you go to Paris and there's the place that wins the award every year for the best baguettes. And it's like, must get a baguette there.
Got to try it.
Yeah.
So it's really safe to say that your travels have been a big influence on your baking, even on your passions.
Yeah.
Let me just rabbit hole that just for one quick second. Is that's one thing that is so great about travel is that whatever your passion is, you can explore that passion in so many different ways, in so many different places. Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who might be hesitant to travel or someone who you have family members that maybe don't want to travel so much because they are expecting it's going to be this one way, you can remind them, hey, whatever you're passionate about, we can go do that. We can go to every bakery that exists there. We can go to the top.
You can explore these things.
We can, yeah, we can find places that sell chess boards, you know, like whatever, whatever they're about, you know.
It's funny, just, Ben's about chess.
Okay, well, there you go. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of like highlight that because it's important to be able to gear your travels towards what you're passionate about. I also love that travels have inspired maybe things that you bake or things that just giving you ideas like pistachio cream, like that would be a super fun filling for something. Like, I don't know that I've heard of that.
When you could first do chocolate, why would you
do that? Exactly.
True. I'd make a chocolate pistachio cream. There you go. Right?
Yeah.
See, I see her little brain just twirling around there.
Her big brain.
You kind of get everything through osmosis. It's like, you know, I also religiously watch the Food Network and all the baking shows, but but I do find after a while that when I'm playing around with things, you go to a place where maybe you're not necessarily aware that you're going to it in your head, but you've done it because you've observed so many different people being creative or you've seen something in a window. And it's like, that's a neat design. I mean, I'll take a lot of pictures too, if I see something that I think is particularly beautiful to see if I can use it as an inspiration or try to replicate it.
Yeah. I love that.
It's fun.
Well, let's dive into a little bit more about your specific bakery that you have and what are you serving right now? What's on your menu and how can people find you? All of that.
It's Cottage Home Bakery. So right now I'm doing it at home also because Tehachapi is too small to have a commercial kitchen. So it has evolved. So initially when I launched it, it was going to be because it's Catrin's Vintage Cakery. So it's Catrons Vintage Cakery, which now that I've said that, I should say there's a website. You can reach me through the website. There
and we will put that on the show notes.
I'm also on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. If you Google ABC Bakersfield, you could just Google ABC Bakersfield and the name of the bakery, although it's also on my Facebook page. Did a story on me probably about 2.5 months ago that she interviewed me, she filmed me in the kitchen. So initially I thought it was going to be just vintage style cakes. It's very much inspired by the recipes that your mother would have made or your grandmother would have made, depending on how old you are. I mean, if you're 12, that's vintage. But the focus has been kind of staying true to those traditional flavors with maybe a little flair. So I do a pineapple upside down cake. I do the traditional chocolate with chocolate buttercream. I have actually probably not as traditional, but a pumpkin cake that I'm pretty proud of.
I love pumpkin
cake. But on the website, I tend to change it up a lot. Like I also feature some cookies like oatmeal, chocolate chip. I use a lot of chocolate in things, which that's optional. Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Better chocolate chip. But I try to, if you look at the website, you won't see a ton of things on there because it is always evolving. I try to kind of focus on what I feel the most confident in, especially because I'm baking gluten-free for everything. Once in a while, I add something new. Once in a while, I take something away. So I took vanilla off the menu recently when I just realized I was not happy enough with it. And it could be because I'm a chocoholic and I'm having difficulty wrapping my head around vanilla. I seem to do fine with pumpkin. I do fine with lemon, and it's one of the most traditional things out there. But until I feel confident enough in a new recipe, which I'm still tweaking, I'm just not offering it. It's, I also don't want to try to come up with things just to appease an audience. I would rather do what I know I do really well.
Look, lean into your strengths.
Yeah.
In-N-Out Burger. They do what they do. They do the one thing and they do it great. Chick-fil-A, they do the one thing, they do it great. You're doing the thing and you're doing it great. So, you know, go with your thing, right?
Well, and I try to be honest with people too. It's like, I don't do fondant. I'm not doing Ninja Turtles and things like that. Like I'm not a molder. I'm so in awe of those artists that, I mean, they're sculptures and painters, and then they just happen to be killer bakers. I work with very simple ingredients, but I also keep my design simple. So a lot of fresh edible flowers, and then just buttercreams. I mean, I don't try. I did a Barbie cake as a favor for a friend, and her daughter thought it was great. I thought it was a little bit of a hot mess, but
you did make a vegan, gluten-free cookie with the Romies on it in honor of the episode. And so we thought that was super cool.
I wish you guys could find that
on our socials.
Oh my God. It is so good. I wish you could try. Like, and I'm not just like, I would tell you, obviously, if I didn't think it was good, it is wicked good. And I took some with me yesterday and shared it with some friends. And there was a woman there who I had made a surprise brownie for her husband for his birthday last year. And she's like, his birthday's coming up. You know, can you do something for him? You want to do the brownie again? She's like, I saw that picture you posted of that heart cake or that heart like cookie cake. And I happened to have some there. So she was able to try it. She's like, that's what he wants. He wants that. Like, he just had a taste of it. Turned out really good. So I'm adding that to the menu.
I love it. Awesome. I love it. Well, you inspired me. I went and I made some gluten-free, vegan, sugar-free. I sweetened with dates and banana and apple, and I made sugar-free cookies. And then I broke our blender by doing that. So
because of the dates.
So now my blender doesn't work.
She has this thing of cramming a bunch of stuff in there that's like a date. It's really thick, and the blender is just like,
well, it is a date. It's not,
and I know, but I'm saying all kinds of things like that, and the blender is just barely trying to move. Baby, please don't burn up the blender. And now
the dates.
Okay.
So maybe I can find whole food date powder down the road, but you inspired me to bake. But I know they were not as good as yours. So
I want to try that though. Cause we were saying, you know, I definitely would love to find a good alternative to sugar. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, not
fake sugar or whatever. Yeah.
And stuff like that. It would be nice to be able to do it with whole foods that works, that doesn't make it gummy either because of the moisture that can come from it. So that's the other thing. Did you love it though? Was the texture great?
I mean, they taste fine, but they're like, you know, my homemade version. They're probably some of my better. I've been trying to make healthy, I say in air quotes, my whole life. And my mom always has rolled her eyes at me, but still let me just kind of play around because I have such a sweet tooth, but I know that I shouldn't eat so much sugar.
She froze. Oh, now she's
in. Okay. You froze, babe. You said my mom will.
Oh, my mom will always roll her eyes at me because like, since I was a kid, I was always trying to make these fake cookies, you know, with like, you know, non-sugar.
Everything
and all
alternative.
So.
True, I was the same.
But for me though, like this whole concept of like using gluten-free or low sugar or sugar-free or dairy-free, there is so much, I feel like baking and cooking in itself there's so much creativity involved anyway. It's such a creative outlet. But you have to like be extra creative when you're doing these like what would be quote unquote alternative. And I say that because culture is used to eggs and, you know, refined white flour and all that stuff. And it's like, can we make a better for you version? And I think that's very ambitious and wordy and super, like, I'm super grateful for people like you who are trying to create these things to not only we can enjoy and
celebrate and have some fun goodies, but they're going to be a better for you version, and they're going to promote a little bit more health aspects.
And they taste awesome. And they unlike taste my wife's good. Cookie explorations.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Yeah. You know,
I relate to her cookie cake. My whole, because I was raised by Midwestern parents. They were from Missouri. It was all like, you know, mac and cheese and ribs and all that stuff. Yeah. And I was always experimenting with vegetarianism and all that and trying to eat healthier. And I would get stomach aches sometimes, you know, as a kid and a teenager. And my dad would always say, it's because all you eat are sticks and berries and all that weird stuff all the time. Hey. Real food.
Grass. I didn't realize you and my wife were the same person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Rory, we both start a nutrition course at the same time, too. So
oh, my goodness. Yeah.
We both love cats. Oh, my God. We've got a lot going on. So.
And we have tuxedo cats on top of that.
Oh, for reals? Okay. Yeah. Well,
I think maybe once Alexa gets that tea thing going more and more, too, and maybe I can use some of your tea in a recipe and
mm-hmm.
a Romy's tea cake.
I can sell your baked goods at tea parties.
Yes, see?
So Iceland, yes. We had green tea croissants in Iceland, and they were fantastic.
They were not green tea. They were just tea croissants.
Tea croissants. Did you have those when you were in Iceland?
So good. No, because I went to what I thought was the baker. There was a bakery around the corner from our hotel that was so amazing that had like really great cookies and things. But man, I would have loved that.
So what are some other, any other kind of places you've been with baked goods that you didn't talk about today? Any additional highlights?
I guess Iceland is one. I mean, I've traveled so much. It's,
Do any bakeries stand out? Like, I mean, you mentioned Paris and these places. I mean, yeah, obviously, and the stroopwafels. And if you're in Brussels, you're gonna have a waffle. You know, I mean,
which we did, yeah. In Brussels, we got a Nutella waffle, like, and it was absolutely stunning. So that was the other thing that was on our bucket list. It's like we had to get this giant waffle, and it was overflowing with whipped cream and Nutella.
So good.
And there's besides the macarons in Paris, which, like I said, I do not like macarons, and these I love. They melted in your mouth. The ice cream there too. I can't remember the name of the place. There's a place there that's also really famous that was just, I mean, it was
gelato or ice cream?
There were two actually. I think one was an ice cream, and then I think the other was a gelato where they make it into roses. And so Ben and I are talking about, we went to Tokyo a few years ago. Tokyo, by the way, it's interesting because the baked goods are different there. Obviously, the Asian palate is not keen on super crazy sweet. They tend to like almost like a more savory sweet, at least the authentic offerings. And so, and I tend to be, you know, mainlining sugar. Like I want it crazy sweet. But
I mean,
so we're talking about going to Tokyo again, and we're talking about going to Seoul, South Korea. And I was looking up Seoul, and already the first thing that caught my attention is there's a place there that does these kind of rose petal shaped like ice cream gelato cones. I don't know if it's ice cream or gelato, but they're like I had in Paris that look like rose cone. One thing we did have in Tokyo, I will tell you, that was unbelievable, that after we got back, it seemed like it kind of caught on in the US, which I don't know if you guys have seen. It's like fluffy ice, like crazy, crazy milk ice, fluffy, fluffy. And then they put syrups and things on it. And you eat it and it just disappears. I mean, there's like nothing to it, but we had that and it was mango and it came out in this massive mound, but it shaves so beautifully and thin that you just, it's like eating air. It's like the candy cane of ice cream, I guess. So Ben does not, he likes cookies and ice cream. He's not a big sweets person, but it's funny. But then I'll take him and he'll try things. He's like, that's really good. So he gets kind of pulled along on the adventures. But
that's so fun that your travels, this is cool. See, because it all ties in. Your travels not only inspired you for your baking, which is one of your passions, but also inspired you as to where you went to live when you decided to pull the trigger, if you will, and say, you know what? I'm going to chase my dream and I'm going to take a risk. We're going to move from one of the biggest cities in the world to Tehachapi, California. And basically, we're going to start over.
Yeah.
And y'all, we're running out of time. We only have 2 minutes before Zoom will die on us.
All right. Well, wrap it up.
I'll wrap this up and say, and Allison ran into so many issues, didn't you, Allison, with the altitude? You had to like readjust all of your cooking because of the different altitude.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
I was heartbroken. I mean, I just did my first decent loaf of bread like 2 weeks ago. It's taken me almost 2 years, but the cakes, it took me a while. I was so relieved. I really thought for a bit when we moved here that I was done baking, that I was never going to be able to figure it out because 4,200 elevation, it makes enough of a difference that it just would come out flat or heavy, just dense. And so fortunately I've overcome that, but the bread I'm still working on. The bread looks great right now. I need to get that sour taste back, but that's
your starter.
Bread is different from cake and cookies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But you've cracked the code.
I've cracked the code. Thankfully.
Well, thank you so much for inspiring us. One of the things we like to do is inspire people. And if someone has a dream that they've never chased and they're thinking, yeah, but it's possible, right? To leave what seems like the top of the world, but you're super unhappy, and pursue what really makes you happy.
I think people forget that you have choices in life and
you
get caught up in our worlds. But you do, you always have a choice. And it's just like every Hallmark movie, you can leave corporate America and you can move to a small town and you can pursue your dream.
You are living.
And you are living
Hallmark.
To go from what feels safe and comfortable to something scary takes risk. But when you take that risk, you gain confidence, you find joy, and you learn and you grow. And
you have more peace.
And you have a lot more peace and you sleep better.
Yes. And you live out the Hallmark movie you love so much.
Yeah. And now I get snow, which is also really great. So, well, you guys know I love you and I think what you do is amazing. So I appreciate you inviting me to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Yeah. Same here. Ditto.
And to tempt your travel bug even more, Allison is tied in with the Tehachapi Tourism Office. So make sure that you connect with her there so that you can discover all the cool, fun things you need to do when you visit Tehachapi. And now we have Chef Monica.
Chef Monica. Nice moniker for Monica.
Yes, she is Chef Monica in Seguin, Texas.
We had so much fun when we went to Seguin. If y'all remember our previous episode, we were in Seguin. And
Seguin, Texas.
If you have not been there or heard that episode, we will put that in the show notes. So when we went to Seguin, we went to Pecan Town Books and Brews. And that was one of the places that we featured and talked about. And what is so fun is that if y'all have heard me talking about launching a tea line, Pecan Town has been my first client restaurant to bring my teas.
To carry her tea.
Yes. So my tea to market is at Pecan Town. And so being able to travel and connect that way was super cool. Well, when we were eating at Pecan Town, not only did they tell us about all of these cool events they do and these cool things they do, but we also noticed that there were these really cool gluten-free and dairy-free goodies to eat. And she talked about the gluten-free bread.
Which is my favorite.
Everyone talked about that.
Goodness.
It's good.
So, yes. And so, like, Rory and I ended up ordering, like, just the bread. We didn't put it in a sandwich. We didn't need butter. We didn't need anything with the bread. We were just like, give us the bread. And so, but we had not met Monica yet. Now, a year later, and I'm taking my tea, and I'm walking in with my tea, and I get to meet Monica. We're so glad to introduce you guys to Monica.
The star of the baking scene at Pecan.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I love is, like, I had so much fun talking with you at Pecan Town recently. So I enjoyed your food a year ago and was super impressed with your skills and just like that gluten-free bread. It was just something magical. But then to actually get to like meet you in person and then talk to you and just learn a little bit about your passion and what you're about, like, it's just, I just had so much fun and I'm like, I really want to share you with our listeners. So
great. Yes. I'd like to join in too.
So we're super excited to just have you on board today. And, you know, because it's February, because it's Valentine's Day, we just want to, like, this is the time to think about your sweets and your sweetie and, all of your good New Year's resolutions. You just put them aside just maybe for a little bit.
For a couple weeks.
Yeah. And what I love, we'll get into this too, but what I love is that you even have better for you versions of things that you're making. And so if you have started your year like with your health goals, you can still have some sweets and not completely be derailed. And so that's something that I really love and appreciate. I would love to know what got you into baking, what started it, what inspired you to even do this process in your life.
It started when I was young. I was, you know, loved baking, but then I went years without baking. So mind you, you know, life happens, passes you by, you're just like, I realized I haven't baked in a while, right? So then I started thinking, I started baking, then I started eating it. So I was like, okay, not so fun. When you start eating what you're baking, you're like, I'm going to stop baking because I am consuming all the product.
Yes. This so is why I don't cook much. I don't want to share. I want to eat all of it. Yeah.
I just like started going to school and I told my husband one day, I was like, I want to change my major. He was a little disappointed, but I just felt in my gut, and this is where it started. And I'm going to say this, it might sound really funny, but I realized I started to love washing dishes. Oh, that is
And that is my very least favorite chore.
Like my favorite. And like, even at work, if I'm in the kitchen, I'm like, I'm going to do the dishes. Like I'm going to stand here and do dishes because I enjoy that part. If I can enjoy what I'm like putting out and giving out to people, I better be enjoying these dishes because I am glad I am washing the dishes that is putting the product out.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
that mentality that I had begun to have. And so when I changed my major and from admin assistant to pastries, it was like, wow,
almost the same.
And everybody asked me, they're like, what are you gonna do with that? Like, just make cakes on the side? Like, you just as a hobby? And it's like, I don't really know. I honestly thought I was gonna be working just from home, be a stay-at-home mom, but that turned around 2 years ago. So, and it was actually right after I graduated. I actually just graduated school.
Congrats.
Then I met Tess from Pecan Town, and me and her husband had met through my husband. Yeah. So that's how. And it's like, if I didn't say at the time what I enjoy doing in conversation with her husband and a group of people that we all, you know, hung out with, I wouldn't be where I was at. Like, if I didn't tell that person that, you know, told someone else, then I would not be anywhere I'm at. We wouldn't even have this conversation right now. He told his wife, who was opening up a bookstore / cafe restaurant. So it was just really an awesome ordeal that had happened and inspired. And so since then I've been doing it. We're going on 2 years. Wow. But a lot has happened since then. So in addition to Pecan Town, I do marshmallows too. And that got into the restaurant of a James Beard nominee inspired barbecue place. And so that was really fun. I've been going on almost over a year making marshmallows for them.
Okay.
So things have been just like back to back. And that's what keeps me like going. At the end of the day, I come home after 12 hours. I'd do it all over again tomorrow.
Man,
I love that. You are following your passions and doing what you love. We so cheer you on in that regard. It's super hard to do that. And it takes a lot of bravery to do something that you're passionate about. That was very brave of you to switch from a very safe major.
Like what?
Yeah. You know,
are they related?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like us with music. Like, why would you major in music? You can't ever make money, you know? Like, so why would you? You know? So, and something artistic and creative, that doesn't pay the bills, you know? So something that's nice and normal and stable and all that. And so it's just really cool. Are you staying completely busy with just those two?
Yeah, currently, yes. That's my primary focus. I told them that. I said, y'all are the primary focus, that I make sure that y'all have consistent quality products. Because when you keep that going for a long time and you think, oh, I can just take on anything, then you start losing the quality. And right now I have two student interns from my college that I went to that I get to train. So I'm like, I was just there with you guys. I was just there with y'all 2 years ago, you know, freshly graduated, and I've been there. So now, you know, we like work together, and they, you know, Chef Monica, and it's just really nice to see like students like look up to me, so I can show that I came from this school. I, you know, y'all can be where I'm at. It's not let me just do cakes on the side, you know? So
yeah, it's a legit thing.
See it, they meet people, they network. And so that's what I plan on also like showing my students.
And that's inspiring them.
Yeah. And they inspire me.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we do different things every single day, and they love it. Okay. You know, and it's inspiring me to make sure that I can now focus on things in the very smallest detail in particular to make it better, you know?
Right.
Yep.
Because I had so much, and I thought I was over my head. But as soon as I discovered, well, one, plan it by the hour, plan it by the day, and you will get it done. And now I can have a 9 to 5, you know, planned well, you know, maybe one day like this a week, that'll be 12-hour days. But other than that, I pretty much have like a 9 to 5. Like if I create that sort of environment and schedule in my life, that will balance me out.
That has been
the most exciting part.
So you're not just inspiring them, they're inspiring you also.
Oh yeah, definitely so.
We'll see, and maybe soon you'll just leave them with the baking so you can just wash dishes.
I think I did that today. And I'm like, wow, I can trust you guys, you know, and they're just wonderful, you know, and we're getting into a lot of chocolates, tempering chocolates, some truffles, little heart shapes and like stuff that, you know, hard candies filled with fillings and stuff. And so we're working on that this week. And that's what I'm excited to learn more about, because it's been a minute since school. I work with tempering chocolate, which is that snap that you hear in a heart box. So
yes, very particular.
Very fun. So with your Valentine's Day offerings, if folks want to connect with you and they want to order from you, because I know you do special orders. One of the things you and I connected with, you are doing, you know, I mentioned the gluten-free bread earlier, but you are baking things that are gluten-free or vegan, or they're dairy-free or they're egg-free or whatever. I love that you are not going with only what is safe and sure and any baker can do. You're doing that. But you are also sensitive to special diets. People want that now. It's a challenge. You have to be extra creative. You have to be patient. All of these different things.
Find what works.
But I've also thought, you know, when we can't have the access of something that we've all used all our lives in those situations that, you know, hey, there's no butter, there's no milk, there's no eggs. That I can use other product in replace of that. And that's going to be one of the biggest things that bakers don't have experience with. And you want to get that experience because you have no idea how the market will be in any day, in any form, any year.
Right.
And it can just be like that. And to keep growing, you might need to have some alternatives of what you're selling and what your product. And we talked about that in school, about the downfall of, you know, things that we buy all the time. What would happen? Restaurants were affected by that. Yeah. Restaurants and bakers were affected by that.
Yeah. So
it was really like a thought that I had. I was like, we have to see what we could work with when times like that happen again.
Yeah.
So you don't like stay out of business.
Yeah, that's good. Right. That's good. That's very wise.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, if Valentine's Day is coming up and there's a choice between going to the store and picking up some chocolates that have been in a package for months and, you know, or you can go to a bakery and buy like artisan homemade, if you will. I mean, basically everything you guys do is from scratch.
Oh yeah.
Big products for your love. That would be how much more super would that be?
It's just special and it tastes better. And it's fresh. Yes. Because you live in Seguin, Texas, if people want a special order with you, do they need to be local to Seguin? Do you ship nationwide? Like, where are you in that process if folks special order from you?
So, yeah, speaking on that, I had two people reach out to me on using them as a sort of like sample shipment to see how things would go, you know, from me to them. And it was, you know, so one of my coworkers' mom, she was like, if you could ship this, could you? And I'm like, well, I could try. And so right now with all the licensing and all the things I needed to kick into gear, as far as like my situation and my space that I've gained in this whole process, you know, commercially, that's something I would like to consider for sure. Like I just haven't yet, but I mean, surrounding Seguin, maybe about, you know, hour like or so radius.
Okay.
Yeah. We could definitely work that out.
Yeah. So if you're in the, if you're in the Seguin area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Area like up until like Austin, San Antonio, or like,
oh, that's,
I mean, that's surrounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have another question. You talked about how your students inspire you, but what else has inspired your baking?
What I love, and this is also connecting to the bookstore, is that we do our like specialty brunch. And that kind of gets me to step out of my box, because I get to like see what kind of dish I could make that can just surprise anybody, that you won't get in town any other time. It's kind of specialized in that. And it gives me to like think about, well, what kind of dish will surprise people? And my inspiration, I guess, is just like, I don't want to do what anyone else is doing. I want to do something that's going to challenge me. What is going to challenge me? Because if I do not, this will be for nothing, because that's my inspiration. Doing something that I have not done last week that I want to do right now. Yeah. And I will invest in it. I will buy the tools for it. And that's just kind of like, next step, let's do it. Like, let me do something different. Let me do it. I want to so badly. And what's crazy is that there's different types of chefs that would teach you, whether you're vegan, they take everything that you would never think of and use it, because they have studied it, they have worked with it, and they've seen it work. And there, I'm like, wow, that all these techniques that I've never even thought about.
Yeah.
And
wouldn't have ever considered it.
Without me traveling, you know, like sometimes you got to travel for those things. You have to go to France. You got to go to, you know, somewhere else. And you're thinking, well, I can't have access to that. Yes, you can. Now you can.
When others travel and explore new cuisine, and when they share from their travels, that their travels is what is inspiring you to come up with your next new thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Right.
So yeah. I love that, because again, travel is so inspiring with creativity. And even if you can't go travel yourself because you're running a bakery full time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. I mean, right now you're not in a...
Not a good time.
Your business would not do really well if you
just took off for 3 months.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so it's really great that you can learn and be inspired from those who travel and pick up those techniques that you're talking about and all,
all
the things. What's cool about that is it's second and third hand as well. Like, because people come to you now to be inspired. So they came up with this thing that inspired you, and now people travel to you and they're inspired. So it's really cool.
It's like hand in hand. Like, you know, let's bring it all. I always tell my students, I don't want y'all to think because I graduated 2 years ago, yeah, I might have more experience, but that doesn't mean I can't learn something that y'all are doing. One of my students is in chocolate. She was so excited about it. And I was like, well, show me what you learned, because I want to see. Even the instructors are like, if you want to come back and learn some, you can, Monica. Like, it's just, I was so like, cool. I will come back and learn some things, because I just want to make sure I like don't fear the product. With macarons, I know when I fear the product, it's going to come out in the product.
I taste the food.
So today I was like, I don't want to do macarons, but I know I have to. And so my student was like, Chef Monica, you got this. And I was like, not going to think about it. Just do it. I had the memory, like recipe in my head, and I just measured everything out, did it with confidence, and I did it. And I was like, that was so great. That's why I worked till 7:30. But you know what? Like I said, I'll do it again tomorrow. I'll just do all this over again. It is so exciting.
So many things that you're saying I connect with in so many levels of just wanting to be creative, wanting to try new things, continuing to always learn. There's just so many things that you've talked about that you've articulated about, like, I can see that in my personality, but I've never thought to say it that way. But I feel like the biggest gift that we can give somebody with our podcast is to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And because in our experience, when you do that, that's when you grow. That's when you stretch. You start to experience something you've been dreaming about. Yeah. You see things you never imagined, and they open up so many doors in your, at least in your mind.
Yeah.
Our minds are so powerful. And so when we open up our minds and we see new things and we try new things and we discover new things, it enhances life in such a huge way.
Well, not just from the new things, but it also takes the things we consider pedestrian and makes them more exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah. Going back to basics.
Yeah. I love how you have talked about getting out of your comfort zone. You mentioned learning. That is so important. And just continuing to grow. I feel like growing is living. That's what we want to do with this podcast. And so I just appreciate that you are doing that. And you're encouraging people to step out of their comfort zone, try something new.
Yep. Really, you know, it really was, like I said, night and day as far as like if you look at like 1 year to the next. And I just can't imagine not being here. I do this again. I have certain things that are the same every week, and that's great. But I'm always excited about it because I'm like, the product's still going. The product's still sending, you know, where I'm sending it out still. So that I should be grateful for that because yeah. It's not a product that's kind of gone out the window or something. It's another week, another flavor. Let's do it. Let's try to do this. Like, you know, that'll probably be the only thing that changes is like flavor and seasonal changes. Yeah. I did a lavender chocolate truffle today. It was so good. Infusing the like cream with the lavender petals. Yes. And I was thinking right now, I could definitely do one of your teas.
Yes.
That would be so interesting. I was like,
do you know what we did in Iceland?
Yeah, this is so funny because we also mentioned it with
Allison. Yeah, yes, Allison. We had croissants made with tea.
Yeah,
tea in croissant. Iceland. And they were like, I had to go to that coffee house every day to get that. That was like my favorite thing in Iceland food-wise, or these croissants that were infused with tea. So yes, yeah, let's figure out what tea you need and we will.
We'll oh yeah, that would be it. So nice and different. Wow. That's what I'm saying. I want to be the different thing that you don't see anywhere.
Yeah, of course. I love that. Yep. I love that. We are so excited to have been able to talk with you today and inspired by your story. And we hope others that are listening today are inspired by you. And again, if you are in the greater Seguin area, you can send in your special request to her, especially for Valentine's Day, birthdays, or any special occasion. Or
well, also dessert catering. I cater to like events. So you know how you see like your savory foods and stuff catering? I do the dessert. So people reach out to me for those things as well.
Yeah.
And her gluten-free bread is
If you're listening to this before Valentine's Day, take advantage of what you've learned and find a special sweet for your special sweetie in your life instead of just going to buy the thing from TGMY. They don't exist anymore. Going down to your local. Yeah. Instead of just going to a big box store and buying big box store candy for your sweetie, take advantage of what you've learned and do something special for them.
And of course, remember, please visit our show notes so you can contact Chef Monica, so you can contact Allison, reach out to them, connect with them. And if you're not in the area right now for Valentine's Day, make a point to travel to these super cute destinations and connect with them at that point. And you will not regret it. So check out those show notes and get that info. And instill something special and inspired.
Valentine's Day.
We hope we've inspired you this episode.
So join us next time.
Please subscribe to, rate, and share our podcast with your friends.
Or, you know, whomever.
And please like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
We are also on X. And on all social platforms, we are at The Romies. That's TheRoamies. And our main hub is our website.
At www.theromies.com.
That's right. That's
TheRoamies.com. We'll be there until next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.